all worship him, Almighty God. I worship you in key of F.
I worship you, Almighty God, and there is none like you.
There's none like you, Lord. We praise you.
I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I long to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness.
Yes, Lord, let's worship him.
I worship you, Almighty God. There is none.
He's right here for us to tell him. Let's sing it one more time.
I worship you, Almighty God,
for there is none like you, Lord.
There is none like you.
We come into your presence.
I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I long to do. I give
just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, you truly are that King of righteousness. Lord, to think that, Lord, you will come, we will come with you in the clouds, Lord, and upon you written, King of righteousness. Lord, you put things right in our lives, Father. That's why we're here today, Lord. There is truly none like you, Lord. You're so powerful, Lord, to work so mighty. Lord, to come down, Lord, like in Psalms 18, Lord, that you bowed the heavens, Lord, that you came down to deliver David. You came down to deliver Eliana, Brother Don, Sister Mary, Micah, Noah, Christian, Derek, Stephen. You came down for us because you loved us, for Karen, for each one here tonight, Lord. You come down, Lord. You like us to acknowledge how wonderful you are for us, to come down for us, Lord. Because David acknowledged it, Lord, and when you heard that, you bowed the heavens, you cast down your arrows, and you came upon on a cherub, and you flew down instantly to meet the need of your children. And we thank you, Father, that you are that God today. You have not changed, Lord. So we thank you, Father, that you're here tonight, Lord, to deliver us from all of our fears. Lord, to deliver us, Father, from all of our diseases. Lord, to heal all our iniquities, Lord. To forgive all of our iniquities, to heal all of our diseases now. We just thank you, Father, that we are the chosen, Lord. We are the called according to your purpose, Lord. And you said, you are mine. Lord, we are yours. We identify with that tonight now, Lord. We commit each one into your hands tonight, Lord. Let God arise, his enemies be scattered, and let us realize tonight more of who we are in you. In Jesus Christ's name, we thank you. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Praise the Lord, Josh. He's doing it. How's everyone tonight? Wonderful. Thank you, musicians. God bless you, online family and family of God. It's just wonderful to see what the Lord's giving us, Brother Don. And I think we'll see this more as a trend in our lives, that we come with more anticipation as we are more aware of how much the Lord can give us, not only daily in our prayer closet, but then to confirm our prayer closet with the Sunday morning service, the Wednesday night service, and to not only see we get out as much as we put into it. And that goes for me as a minister, or for all the ministers and the song leaders and the musicians, but it also goes for each one of us when we're listening, right? And I think, like how Brother Branham was so puzzled, how did the Indian people have so much faith? It's because they didn't have those preconceived mindsets. They were open to see the Lord work. And what does that mean? Is that they were coming expecting. They already had some aligned faith to receive. And so for us, could this be our first Wednesday night, Debbie, to think this is our first Wednesday night coming to church? And rather than of what we think it has been in the past, to like the Lord's been reminding us to forget our memory of what is holding us back from who we were and maybe what we got out of church before in the past that wasn't very much, to think that we could get 100 times more out tonight than we've ever gotten before. Because like Brother Bram said, if we could just get in that place that, and we could take faith and have the right mental attitude towards the promises of God, there wouldn't be a feeble one among us in 5 minutes. So again, it's just tapping in. And I was thinking of that sermon Sunday, spiritual amnesia, you know, just because, Lord, help us to remember, as Job said, where were you in eternity? Where were you before the foundations of the world? And he didn't say, where were you when you were sitting with the comforters and this and that? Remember how many sacrifices you gave for your children, all these things? No, he was saying, he's pointing back to his source, his beginning, and reminding him of that. And to think that in the sermon, Spiritual Amnesia, sorry, I know this is a Wednesday night and everybody's probably just... is that, thank you, Brother Don, is that if you go back and just listen to Spiritual Amnesia, but also even if you just could start with the teaser of listen to the last 5 minutes. And I know I've said this before, but you go from just Brother Branham saying, You're forgetting who you are. You're forgetting what God has for us. You're forgetting you've got amnesia. You don't know. And with all of a sudden God, by power of demonstration, someone getting healed or someone getting delivered, and all of a sudden he says, that's it. And someone just lets out a scream and the place blows up with just faith surging and people are just being healed all over the place. And you could hear it. You just weep when you hear it, because you see that's where God wants us all the time. And you can imagine how many people went out of there and thinking like, oh, if we could have just had that for the whole hour service where we realized who we were and we realized what God has for us. So may the Lord just break down those false memories of who we are. Just been really on my heart anyways. To just take a text of just to remind you to remind all of us to becoming our God-given identity. And I forgive me for pulling on the coattails of the Spirit from Sunday. But it's just been so on my heart, and you know, I think the number one thing I have to do is I have to apologize for my not yielding to the Spirit more in front of you, because we know the Scripture says, "My soul shall make her boast in the Lord." Christian, I will declare your mighty acts among the congregation. I will declare. It's not, well, Matthew, I got a little testimony. I didn't tell anybody else this, but you can spread the word. It's look what the Lord has done. Like Derek has challenged us, if we put a prayer request up and it's answered, testify. And let, because how many things have God done? And we magnify the Lord by declaring it to everybody. How many times do we hear follow, like, subscribe for more, right? Because it's to broadcast that person out, right, Natalie? And they're just doing it for revenue, but we're doing it to promote the kingdom of God and to show how big He is for us, and to what's that? To us and in us and through us, for us and for others, but to remember that we're also identifying. And this is the hard part, but it's easy because He said it's easy. Is to say, I'm a child of God, and God has been working in my life, and I want to testify. And that interaction, Christian, is what gives us that becoming more, where we let Him do His work more by acting it out. Let's go to, let's all stand and let's just read the text, Hebrews 4. And I was thinking about rest, Brother Don, on Sunday too, because we know we have to rest in what? What do we have to rest from, Christian? Our own works. Why? Because we're unfinished and we won't get there and we should give up. That's right. He is building you, Christian. He is building each one of us. All right. We're just going to read verse 1. Let's read it out loud together. Hebrews 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of us. And verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. And may the Lord add His blessings to the reading of the word. You may be seated. Not mixed with faith, Josh. Michelle, not mixed with faith. They didn't believe it. We can't have it. He's not going to do the work in us. He's not going to finish the work. He's not going to be perfect. Be complete. Amen. Just like when He said to the disciples, He breathed upon them, Brother Greg, and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. That was in John, and then in Acts 2, and the Holy Ghost fell upon them. So He's saying to us, He's breathing on us, Eliana, Isabel, Soph. He's breathing on us and saying, rest, because I've already done it. And Amen. Instantly we all get it, praise God, and it's that easy, right? No, we have to work at saying, Lord, I need to understand, what does it mean to just stop doing it and so You can do it? And it's that becoming, knowing that it's Him in us. When we pull out our identification card, I don't have it on me, so you don't know who I am. It's in the car. If someone pulls Isabel over and asks for her identification, if she doesn't have it, she can get fined for no proof of identification. And I think in Minnesota, you have 24 hours to prove who you are. And my wife always says, Steven, don't leave home with your wallet. You could get pulled over. Maybe she's trying to tell me something. And so that we have this identification of who we are, and but we have to realize that's like we were hearing Sunday, we got to forget that identification. Can you imagine shredding your identification, Brother Don? And being like, I'm not German. Is it German? German. I'm not German. Imagine you go over to Don and Mary's, and Mary's going to the Hoffman sign on the wall. I can't remember if there's one on the wall. And she's just throws it in the bonfire. And it just, you know, what were you saying again? And what? What did you do that for? This is who your family name is. You just, are you mad at it? No, it's just not my family name anymore. And to be able to say, can you imagine? Obviously, we have to. There's some legalities that we have to hold on to, but to be able to say, these are just tangible representations of what God's calling us to. I think I would love to go back to Norway and Sweden, where I'm from. I'm sure that some people wouldn't. They wouldn't care. But I'm thinking, oh, man, this is my place, land of my ancestors, or ancestries.com, Derek, to see how much Scottish you are versus English. And maybe there's some maybe some rogue Irish in there. But to find out, okay. Oh, he's already done it probably. But it's funny because when we do ancestry.com, we're like, oh, now I know who I am. I know a little bit more. And we become maybe a little bit more proud, or maybe less proud of who we are, right? And it's interesting because learning about the Danish people, they're actually they're more like the pirate rebels. If you look at some of the ancestry, they're very spunky. So it's very interesting that I didn't research that before I got married. Sorry, Bethany. But to see that we have our identity is not that, because we know in the scripture it says old things have passed away. Old Stephen, old Michelle has passed away. Behold, all things are become new, which we know means it's a process, and are becoming. Can we say and are becoming? And are becoming. Is that we are a new creation in Christ. And so what's interesting is that we go to verse 3, for we which have believed, remember, is those that didn't have faith, it wasn't mixed with faith. They couldn't enter into the rest. So Matthew, we have to believe to enter into the rest, that he's done the work. And he cites of how he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, the works in you, Matthew, Christian, were finished before the foundations of the world. You could say, well, I'm a mess. I know I'm a mess. And you could say, it's finished. And that's what every one of us needs to have on our wall. We see first thing in the morning is, it is finished, Josh, before the foundations of the world. The work in me has been finished, praise God. And I'm just becoming by what? Loving him, pleasing him, working, letting him work in me, letting him have his way. Obedience by pleasing him. We just want to please him who's finished the works. And we know that God rested in verse 4 from all his work. And it says, now this is the verse that really, again, a warning in verse 6. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein. That's me, some. Amen. And they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. And I just say, Lord, help me to enter in. Every day, every morning, Lord, it's over. You've done it. And now do it again today. Work your work today. And I was thinking about this. Anyone ever heard of the arrival fallacy? So this is a term that I've been kind of trying to find the actual terminology on it. But the arrival fallacy is to say something we already know. When I can just pray an hour a day, when I can just have enough time on my knees and get alone with the Lord and get the sword in my hand and get a little chip off the mountain and these things, then I'm going to have enough faith, or then I'm going to be complete in Christ. It's this, I will arrive when these things happen. I will be complete. God will perfect me when? When I do. Yes, exactly. When I do. Yeah. Or like maybe one day when he gives me in 50 years, right? I'm waiting for him to give me something. Until then, I'm going to be kind of partially obedient and the Lord knows my heart stuff. But to be able to say, I believe, saints of God, he has a portion. Now, this is really where we want to pay attention, is every day when he says be perfect, he's going to give us a packet of completion for each day. And he's going to say, this amount, when you hear my words and you obey them, this is the amount I have for you today. And so he gives us a portion of himself every day, and that's the process. It's us, it's Stephen, I want time with you. Okay, Lord, you know my heart, and you know I'll get there one day. No, I need to spend time with him now. I want to please him. Is that God has a portion of himself for us every day to become complete. So we become, in essence, we can become perfect every day. And I don't want you to choke on this, so please understand this. What I mean by this is, for parents, you can see this with your children. Dad would always say, Stephen, have you been a good boy today? When I was 5 or 6, I remember once that day I was not a good boy. But I said, yeah, I've been a good boy today. Because why? I wanted to please him and I didn't want to get in trouble. And that was not rest. But to be able to say, Lord, I can't be a good boy today. I need you to come in because I want to be a bad boy. And to be able to say, Lord, when it comes time, please deliver me from Stephen that will be a bad boy because I want to do the right thing, and letting him come and be really good at being himself to make me a good boy. I hope this isn't too simple to put you to sleep, but I want to do it too overwhelming for a Wednesday night. So now we understand that God wants to do it in us, and he is calling us to something that is every day, again, this perfection every day is to be able to say, Lord, I've done everything I know I can do to obey what you said for me to do. And it's not me doing it, but it's I yielded and I said yes. I said yes to your spirit. I fell and I said, Lord, please forgive me. And I walked in what you gave me for today, higher and higher and higher. And that's versus, and the reason why I want to talk about the arrival fallacy is because there are so many times where I've said, Christian, I'll never make it. It's just, it's so much. And you see people that are so much more ahead of me. And if Brother Don says he's not perfect yet, then like, what hope do I have in my life? Is for every day just to yield to the process and to say, today was a perfect day, even with its mistakes, because the Lord delivered me and the Lord, and I'm standing for him and I'm standing with him on the word of God for what he had me to do. And that happening will automatically grow stronger and stronger and more and more. He's going to take more of our day over. Okay, question for you guys. Have you ever been to somebody's house that were not Christian, but were big fans of something in general, anything, and their whole walls, everything was their walls were full with that? Anybody? And so Mary was, say what? Yeah, offices, yeah. All the little characters, the bobbleheads and the little things. And you're like, wow, you really like Star Wars, or wow, you really like frogs, or wow, you really like New Age stuff. And I've been in houses before, I'm like, is this an alien? This person is an alien. I think it is. Because there's black lights, there's psychedelic stuff all over the wall, there's all the, you know, because as a piano tuner, I'm kind of cheating a little bit, because you probably, thank God for good parents that you don't have lots of friends that would have that happen, or that would have that in their house. And so what I'm getting at is, they had an identification that's so different from the way they came out of the womb. You're like, what happened to your life? And everything that they talk about is about that. And you're saying, how did this desire become so strong? It's like there's that movie, Avatar, where people said when they saw that movie, they literally wanted to move to whatever that land is in the movie because it was such a deep calling to have this otherworldly place. And why? Because we have that thirsting for life, and we have an identity in Christ that we're thirsting for. And so Satan knows that, and so he's pulling on our identity to take us and to say, I know what your real identity is. I know. If you can't say, oh, old Debbie, let's remind you of old Debbie. If he can't get you to think that, he'll be like, oh, I'm going to give you a new identity, right? And to say, oops, it's even better. Even Brother Bram was preaching about Eve, how he said she didn't even know she was doing anything wrong. She just thought she was getting some new light. This is like, oh, this is something enlightening. Like, I didn't even know that this is a part of who I am. This is who I am. And I was looking up, because this is such an interesting age we're living in. And it's an age of identity abandonment for another identity. And we see this, like, growing up, I used to see this in amongst school friends or whatever, where they went from, like, a good, clean-looking kid to, like, a heavy metal artist. Or, like, they just look like they're covered in piercings and tattoos and emu and all that stuff. And you're like, whoa, that's different. But it's just saying, I identify with this band. Whereas now we get it where someone will come into work with a beard one day, and then a month later, they'll come clean-shaven with lipstick on. And so we're seeing that people, and if you study even transgenderism, is that it's this change from I want to be this to all of a sudden now it's a growing desire that's continuing to grow. It's so becoming impulsive to say that I no longer want to be a man or a woman. I want to be the other gender. And I was thinking about the saints because how many of us, all of us, have had this where we're like, I'm coming more like Christ. And I have this growing desire in me to display him more at work, to display him more to my children, to display him more to my friends. And I'm like, I don't want to feel weird because I'm like, hey guys, do you mind? I know it's kind of late, but like, can we just read the Bible before bed? Can we just pray together before bed? And you just kind of feel like, man, I don't want to be that guy or that girl, right? And yet, I could have someone at work with a beard one day and then coming in girl jeans and girl hair and lipstick on and mascara and blush in the matter of a few days. And I don't even know who they are anymore. I don't even know how to go up to them because I don't know their name. And so what I'm saying, saints of God, is that I should have more boldness than someone that's going transgender from male to female in front of 200 or 300 employees and saying, I'm not a man anymore, I'm a woman. And then just going over to other people and having to stand alone. I remember talking to someone and they were like, do you think I would actually choose this life to go from a man to a woman if it wasn't that it was just in me? And now I can say, oh, this feel just finally, it's over and I've transitioned and my life is so much better. Why? Because there was something, and we know that's a spirit, right? We know that it's confusion. It's a spirit of confusion too, because Satan knows that when the bride of Christ knows who she is, she'll be an invincible army. So the best way to defeat any nation or person or country is to destabilize the nation and to destabilize the family, to stabilize the person, the identity. Identity has always been at the core of everything. When someone stands up and say, I know who I am, they can't be told anymore of what to do. They already know who they are, and they're awake, alert, they're shining, they're bursting who they are and what they have to do, their purpose. And so for us to boldly say that I am a child of God, and for I encourage all and challenge us parents, for us to wake up in the morning with our children and to be able to say, who are you? To them when they're little. I heard about this, that there was a brother, he would wake up his children every morning and say, who are you? And they knew from him teaching them, they'd say, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. And they would say, I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. And again, reaffirming their true identity. And we're living in an age where people are, it's pretty much anathema, or not anathema. It's so encouraged and almost legalized that you have to affirm someone's identity. So we know Satan knows, I've made them go from this identity to that identity. Now I need everybody to affirm their new identity because they might retransition back out of it. Because they know that the power of the spoken word to get others to say, not he, she. And it's so important that we affirm who we are in Christ, to continue and to affirm others and to identify with our true identity. I know this is heavy for a Wednesday night, but just think of it, saints, to think how much boldness we can have. If they can have boldness, we can have boldness. How much more? Because it is our true identity. It's very hard, just talking to people that have transitions, it's very hard to transition. Your whole life changes. And they would carry around their wallet. They'd lose their wallet because it would pop out of their jeans because now they're wearing skinny, tight women jeans, and they'd lose their wallet. They had to change their name, and so now all their identity, their former identity stuff, is there's all the slew of bills and mess and everything like that with that. And so why am I saying this is that whereas it's a hardship for them and they're willing to take that and then stand alone and be ridiculed for that, that for us having a righteous identity to be able to say, I'm willing to stand up and to say, I'm Mrs. Jesus Christ. I think of the sisters, God bless you, how that you can say, I identify with holiness, with modesty, according to what Paul said. I've talked to Christian ladies, bumped into one time, and she's like, yeah, I don't agree. Paul had some weird stuff to say, and he didn't really like women that much. And you could tell, again, she couldn't enter into the rest. It was mixed with unbelief, not with faith, to say, I don't understand it, but I know God said it and inspired Paul that I believe it. And the industry knows that for modesty, that it actually is a protective covering. They'll even, there's a company that comes up with like modest clothing, supposedly, but it's not. You, when you look at it, it's really not. But they're actually playing on that idea. They're like, we've done studies and it shows that when women are modest, men will look at them as an object and not an identity. They'll look at them as a tool to be used rather than identity. And so to be able to say that when we are staying in that line of what God tells us to do, we're staying in our true identity. When they're immodest, they're looked at as an object. Thank you, Derek, for the clarification. Let's go to Hebrews 10. And this is, again, the new and living way that God has for us. And we're just going to read from 12 through 25. As this is our identity, this is our new place that God has for us. Because God already did it. This is the work he already did from verses 12 through verses 16 and then 19 through 25 for us to now go forward in that. In verse 12, but this man have, after he hath offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. It's already done. For by one offering he hath, let's read that verse 14 together. We know this one, but let's just take it fresh. For by one offering he hath perfected for them, they're sanctified. So, we are completed forever when we are sanctified. Verse 15, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he has said before, this is the covenant I will make with them after these days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds, and I will write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Praise God for that. What a contrast from "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity," to be able to say, we're in verse 17. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. So let's go on. Now, what does he have us to do when that's done? Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest of holies. Each one of us can enter into the holiest of holies. Satan doesn't like that, Christian. Why don't we give you limited access once a week for 20 minutes on Thursdays, Derek? You only get, I'm going to make a new rule. You can only get into the holiest of holies once a week for 20 minutes. Who likes that rule? Anybody like that rule? How about we can make it 30 minutes? Is that all right? When we have something unlimited, it's easy to think, well, you know, Lord's always with me, so I can be seated in heavenly places all the time. And that's true. And we can be surprised and not limit God that we can be in the holiest of holies in our car. We can have the Lord come sit down right beside us at all times. And so it's not just the prayer closet, even though that's wonderful, but to be able to say we have access to him behind the veil, behind, away from all the world. We have a new and living way. By the blood of Jesus, we know that that's the bleeding word of God is that blood of Jesus. By a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So this is our obedience to him and our invitation to go into his presence and to let him wash us. Read Revelation 1. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful as he promised. You know, the kids were watching Bible Man, and there's this episode. And Luke, this is for you, and Tiffany, this is for you. And there was this episode in Bible Man where this little girl came out of church, and she started saying, maybe I don't believe in God, and maybe I don't believe in going to church, and maybe I don't. And it was that there was the evil villain had given out Beelzebub gum, and it was giving them a maybe idea in their mind, maybe this, maybe that, maybe this, and what it was unbelief. And they started chewing on this, and all of a sudden now they had wavering in their faith. And so how it says, hold fast, hold tightly the profession of our faith, for he is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. You know, I was thinking about this on Sunday, Brother Don, and the Lord really hit me between the eyes when you had said, Stephen, you're not there yet. And in my heart, I'm there. And there's so many things that I've held back from manifesting of my identity in Christ. It's there to come out. And I've said, I don't know if I want to say that yet. I don't know if I want to do that yet. I don't know if I want to identify with Christ yet that way. And I've held him back from coming out. And again, that boldness that we have. And I was thinking about it. Why? Okay, I want you to use your imaginations. Imagine you're Joshua or Caleb, and you're in front of 2 million people with 10 others, and you've just gone to the promised land. Okay, this is what they call a thought experiment. So imagine we're standing there, and we've just come back from the land, and it's this amazing land. And guess what? We already know. It says, just like in Star Trek, everybody has a V on their shirt. Ours say, people of the promised land. It already says it. Everybody has a badge. It was given to them years ago that it had already promised, it was already promised for them. And yet he gave them a test, see if it be a good land. And so they come back, and the 10 next to you, without conferring maybe to you, all of a sudden say, oh, it's horrible. And guess what? We're like grasshoppers. Can you imagine? Like, brother so-and-so, you just said you're like a grasshopper. What's wrong with you? Like, we just crossed the Red Sea. All of our enemies have been completely destroyed, annihilated, all these things, and all of a sudden you're grasshoppers? You just said, hi, I'm Bill, and I want to identify as a grasshopper after going into the promised land. And can you imagine looking at all the faces, and they're all just, and you're like, look at the effect, Brother Stephen, that you just had on all these people. You just said, as soon as you said, we were like grasshoppers, just mass pre-hysteria, Josh, goes over people, and they're just, and maybe some anger, like, what are we doing here? And all the 10 say the same thing. They just go on down the line. And for us, for all of us being in Joshua and Caleb's shoes, to be able to say, what? Don't listen to that at all. Stop. 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 We are more than able to take it. Look at the badge the Lord's already given us. We are people of the promised land. We are people of the open book. We are the bride of Christ. Don't listen to that guy. Those guys, don't even listen to the majority. And can you imagine, as they're doing it, they're getting more upset. And we're looking at them. These are our loved ones that we've come and had a little over two years. I can't remember how long it was, but all these journeys that we've had together, and now we're on the edge of the promised land, Josh, Martin, Michelle, and everybody's just like, oh, okay, yeah, pack the bags, we're going back, like, let's beat the rush. There's going to be lines up the wazoo, we got to get, and you already see the camp starting to stir, and them saying, stop. And maybe I was thinking about this. If the way I am, and tell me if you're this way, is I would be afraid to get up in front of people and just have them look at me wrong. But knowing what I know, that we're right on the edge of the promised land, that we are God's people, that a different word is being spoken and saying we're grasshoppers. We would be destroyed. We'd be annihilated in the promised land. To be able to say, for us to be aware of who we are and aware of where our land is, to be able to say, we're almost there, let's go. Don't waver, don't lose your faith. And I say to each one of us tonight, don't waver, don't lose your faith in your identity in Christ. We are the bride of Christ. Do we believe that we're the bride of Christ? Are we faking it so we make it, or are we actually the bride of Christ? To be able to say, I am the bride of Christ. I am walking in the promises of God. These are all for me. He didn't write them just for me, Josh. They're about me. They're about you. All these are about you. That the promised land has your name on it. It says, this is the promised land of Rachel. This is the promised land. Population. And here's the names, Don, Mary, Michelle, Sophie. These are the people of the promised land. We are the bride of Christ. It's there. Amen. And I'm here to remind me and remind you that we have to remember who we are every day. Remember when we were little and we would maybe get transported in our sleep to our bed or to someone else's house? And you wake up and you're like, where am I? I remember that. Maybe you had chocolate milk before bed, Eliana, and then you woke up and you're like, what day is it? Where am I? And then you remembered, oh, I'm in my room. Like, I'm here. And to be able to realize every morning, sometimes we wake up in spiritual amnesia. who am I? Like they say, what's that phrase? Identity, imposter syndrome. What's that? Where you think you're an imposter. Has anybody heard this before? Yeah, Emma, right? You're going to how many kids do you watch, Emma? Okay, so imagine, like, you ever had thoughts, you're like, what am I doing? I can't watch three kids, right? That's there's a instead of faith of like, I can handle three kids, I've been doing this for how long? Yeah, you've been doing this for 2 years. I remember having the same thing. I was playing the piano before church, and I was just, and I was at least 2 years in playing, and all of a sudden it was like, Stephen, what are you doing? Why are you playing piano? Look at all the people in church. You're playing piano, Karen. And I was like, why am I having this thought? I've been playing for 2 years. It's this, you become aware of what you're doing without your identity of who you are. And so Satan comes along sometimes when we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, and he's like, what are you doing, Michelle? You can't witness to people at work. You can't pray for someone. You can't lay your hands on someone when God gives you the opportunity and he sets it up. And he's trying to take that and give us, you're an imposter. You're just trying to fake it when we already made it. We've already been doing it for, just like Emma's been doing it for 2 years. We've already been doing it for years. And so to keep walking in that rather than saying, oh, I can't do it. What if Janelle was like, hey, I just want to apologize to everybody. I can't sing. I can't write songs. I've been just faking this the whole time. And you know what is interesting is if she was thinking about herself, that would be true. But in Christ, he in her is that complete purpose that's doing it. It's not Janelle doing it. It's not each one of us in our gifts doing it anymore. It's God. It's his identity. For us to get up in the morning and saying, imagine David right before he wrote Psalms 119, saying, oh, I just can't write anymore. Who am I? I can't do any writing. And here's the thing that Satan wants us to ask the question too much is, who am I? And when without him, we're nothing, is to be able to say, I am because he the great I am is in me, and to walk that out. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ died in vain. So we're not doing it because of rules. We're doing it because he loved us, and we love him, and we want to please him. Psalms 89, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For us to boldly declare and boldly say, the Lord is our God, and we are his people, and to identify with that. And it's amazing because I remember one time I was with Nate Painter, and we were going in to just get in some mechanic shop. And there's some ladies, young ladies behind the counter, and we were just chatting with them, and I was seeing them as unbelievers. And all of a sudden, Lord just shifted, and he said, what if all those three ladies just came from Winter Youth Retreat, and they're saved and they love Christ, and they're all wearing beautiful modest apparel, but it just hasn't happened yet. And it was just, these are treasures. These sisters are wonderful. And it was just this, it was eyes of faith to see your identity, to see my identity, for us to look with eyes of faith, saints, and because it says, admonish one another daily. Exhort one another. It's not just shake our fingers at, but it's because I look at Greg and I see the bride of Christ. I look at Linnell and I see the bride of Christ. And so for us to be aware of that when we talk to each other and to be able to say, hey, Brother Don's going to make it. He's going to make it. And because he's going to make it, he can take it. If the Lord puts something on my heart, or if the Lord puts something on your heart to say to Stephen, he's going to be able to take it because he's going to make it. And for us to have that rather than, well, I don't know, Josh. Oh, that's Stephen. If he just doesn't get his act together, I don't know if he's going to make the rapture. You know, I better not talk to him. It may just make him leave church. And see, that's what Satan wants us to do, is to get us out of faith for each other and to forget our true identity, that we're not grasshoppers. We're not unbelievers. We are the bride of Christ, and we are promised land dwellers. Musicians, if you could come. And I can't stress enough, saints, again, to know that the Lord's residence is in us, that he has, that we are citizens of him, and he is a citizen in our heart. We'll make it happen. How can we be the bride of Christ without his spirit to say, come inside of us? For us to grasp that. And I hope this is an encouragement tonight, because it's saying, like Brother Branham, I want to read that quote. If we could just sing that song just slowly as possible, as it is a fast song. I'm a new creation. I think it's in C, I think. I could be wrong. From the first seal. He's trying to explain about the horse riders. And then he says, only is to be revealed at the last day when this actual seal is broken. Broken to who? Not to Christ, but to the church. That's all of you. And he calls them church. Now, that just makes me tremble. I hope that the church truly understands it. What I mean, you people, I'm going to call you bride, see, that you'll understand it. The Lord is breaking forth things to us because we're the bride. By faith, I can believe that for you. And by faith, because it's his work, and I can have rest to believe that for me too. Like Brother Brown said, I hope I am. And we know that scripture hope is earnest expectation. So I'm going to take it as the Bible says hope. And I think so many times people would say, because I really feel like this is a stronghold sometimes, saints. I'm going to challenge all of us, is I think we have faith enough to hope we're the bride in the mixed with unbelief part. Rather than saying, I have earnest expectation by his grace that I am the bride. I'm going to rest on that. Look at the Armor Star Girl story. She didn't say, I hope I'm the bride, Derek. I hope he comes for me. As she's sewing her dress. While she's waiting for him and he's coming at the promised time, she knows she's the bride. And this isn't a name it, claim it thing. This is a saying, I'm in love with you, Lord. I'm in obedience to you, Lord. I've followed the requirements, Lord. Now keep working out your work in me, Lord. I want to keep making myself ready, clothing myself with every word of God and preparing myself as the bride of Christ to say, I am bride. And Lord, show me, is there anything in me that's a spot or a wrinkle? Because I'm bride. When people come into my house after I'm gone, they're not going to see a fandom of some other thing and then say, he's way off on this. Is that, will they see this is someone who's getting ready to leave this place? Not that that's the outward, importance, but to be able to realize and say we have to have an identity change, saints. We have to be able to walk into this and believe it and to say, Lord, let it be in me. Amen. Let's just all stand and let's just bow our heads this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're at a junction of time, Lord. I was hearing someone say, by all accounts, we're actually farther along to World War III than after World War II already started. We can already see that the prophecy has been fulfilled, that the Pope to unite all churches is already alive and in power. We see there's wars, there's rumors of wars. We see the bombs falling in the Middle East back and forth. Without naming it, there is war going on against Israel. And Lord, we are looking to you, Lord. We're desperate, Lord, for you, Lord. And if we're not desperate, Lord, make us more desperate, Lord. Make us to look only to you, Lord. May we not, Lord, I hope that each one knows here tonight that when I say we're bride, I don't say that lightly. I don't say that to try to pep everybody up, but to realize who we are, to get it. Lord, please open our hearts, open our eyes of understanding, Lord, to see, Lord, who you called us to be, Lord, that when you say mine, what that means, Lord, to see our purpose in Christ, Lord, to be aware, Lord, that we are on the edge of eternity, Lord, that we are about to leave this world behind, Lord, and we want to be, not just be ready, Lord, but we're in love with you, Lord, more and more every day, Lord, and as the day approaches, Lord, we just get so sick of this world, Lord, and all that is just so full of, it's making us so uncomfortable. Please, Father, draw us, Lord, keep wooing us, Lord, keep helping us to fall in love with you all over again every day, Lord. Lord, I know that it's not something that I can say, Lord, for people to do, Lord, but it's something that you, Lord, that I have faith that you can work in our hearts, Lord, tonight. Lord, I just thank you so much, Lord, that you put this on my heart, Lord, because you're calling us, Lord. You're doing it, Lord. It's your voice, Lord, speaking to us and wooing us to yourself, oh God, to hear your voice, to obey you out of love, Lord, just to recognize your love, Father. Lord, we thank you now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. I'm a brand new man. Oh, hallelujah. He redeemed me. Oh, I've been born again to fullness have we all received of him. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again. More than that's what I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Amen. Brother Don, would you close us? Would you close us?
Heavenly Father, your word is more precious. precious every day to us. The light of the hour, things that we could not see without you opening it up for us.
Yes, Father.
Now, the precious thing is that love affair you have to us.
Yes, Lord.
That you come to each one of our hearts, our souls, and say, this is you. You're part of me.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, if we can just receive it.
Yes, Lord.
Book of Redemption has been totally open that we can be manifested sons, fit to rule.
Yes, Lord.
Fit to reign. Reigning.
Yes, Lord.
Having your nature, having your character.
Lord. Yes, Father.
Lord, I know this is what you're trying to get into all of our hearts. Yield ourselves to you. And just say, something in our heart screams out, yes.
Yes, Lord.
I receive it.
Yes, Lord.
And in receiving of those things, there's such a cleansing of things that are in us.
Yes, Lord.
So many things that might sense we didn't even know we had. Ways that we stubbornly hold on to that you want us to get rid of, but we realize in all of these things a precious work of grace is taking place. So in these things we yield ourselves to you with thanksgiving and praise. Just like we read in Hebrews 4 tonight, the works were finished before the foundation of the world.
Yes, Lord.
If we could just only believe that.
Yes, Lord.
Granted, as we yield ourselves now to you for the rest of the week, bless each one. Go with them. Stir their hearts. Stir mine.
Yes, Lord.
We ask these things in Jesus' name.